वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, text, Chapter 1, Text Number 17. Tad chutva te ati santrastaha vimuchya sahasa udaram sambasya dadrushus तस्मिन् मुसलम् खलु अयस्मयम् तच्छुत्वा ते अतिसंत्रस्ता विमुच्य सहसोदरम् सांबस्य ददृशुस्तस्मिन् मुशलम् खलु अयस्मयम् तच्छ्रुत्वा ते अतिसंत्रस्ता विमुच्य सहसोदरम् सांबस्य ददृशुस्तस्मिन् मुशलम् खलु अयस्मयम् तच्छ्रुत्वा ते अतिसंत्रस्ता विमुच्य सहसोदरम् सांबस्य ददृशुस्तस्मिन् मुशलम् खलु अयस्मयम्। Matajis. That shutva, having heard, te dhe ati santrastaha, extremely afraid, vimuchya, uncovering, sahasa, hastily. Udaram, the belly. Sambasya, of Samba. Dadrushu, they saw. Tasmin, within it. Mushalam, a club. Kalu, indeed. Ayamayam, made of iron. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Abhay Charanavidya Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: upon hearing the curse of the sages, the terrified boys quickly uncovered the belly of Samba, and indeed they observed that therein was an iron club. Purport: upon hearing the words of the Vaishnavas headed by Narad, the Yadu boys lifted the garment covering Samba's abdomen and saw the fruit of the offense they had committed against Vaishnavas by their deceit. An actual club was there to destroy their dynasty. This example shows that in a polluted society, the club of duplicity can never bring the peace found in the society of devotees. Rather, such duplicity smashes all the non-devotional activities and whimsical doctrines of the pseudo-devotees. The Yadu boys were wary of jeopardizing their advanced position, and indeed had been thinking that as long as they kept their trickery concealed, others would never be able to detect such sophisticated cheating. Nonetheless, they were unable to protect their family from the reaction of the grievous offense against the devotees of the Lord. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Dam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhamvitamscha Namam Vishnu Badaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratushe Namaha Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kriba sindhu bhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Tachrutvate ati santrasta vimuchya sahasodaram. Sambasya dadrushus tasmin mushalam khalu ayasmayam. Upon hearing the curse of the sages, the terrified boys quickly uncovered the belly of Samba And indeed they observed that therein was an iron club. This is the first chapter of the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And just as the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto began with the inquiry about the Yadu dynasty, how Krishna appears, exactly 11th canto, a canto later, is the description of how Krishna disappears, or how the dynasty disappears along with Krishna from this material world. So therefore, janma karma cha me devyam evam yoveti tattvata tyakta tyaktava deham punar janma naiti mameti swarjuna. So Krishna's birth is glorious, and Krishna's activities, which are one of the pastimes of them, is the disappearance of Krishna, is also very adbhut. And if you understand this also, along with the appearance, pastimes, then it is easy for us to become delivered. Why? Because the Krishna Anubhuti will be complete when we have resolved all the conflicts in our consciousness. The conflict is because of an incomplete understanding of Krishna and his activities, and ultimately to experience or to implement this understanding in our life. Therefore, janma karma cha me divyam, when it is explained, it is not that just to simply understand it, but to understand and apply it in our life, then it is possible to become freed from this material engagement. And therefore, we see here that the boys of the Yadu dynasty, very mischievous, they wanted to play a prank. And then, as they were trying to do this, they called us, when the sages had come, all the respectable sages, they tried to bring in Samba dressed as a maiden, carrying a baby, stuffed garments on the belly, to make feel that this woman is pregnant, is carrying a baby. So they wanted to ask that what will be the will this child will be a boy or a girl, right? Everybody wants to know this, whether they say it or not, will it be a boy or a girl, right? And therefore this false inquiry, this falsity, the seed of falsity, the seed of insensitiveness, the seed of a casual approach, can be seen in the attitude of the boys, and the reaction therefore will be seen very immediately. And therefore in this verse it is explained that what they saw was the iron club. Immediately, as the sages pronounce a curse, that there will be this iron club which will become the cause of the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. Lot of purports in the previous verses have been describing about how how it is very saddening to see that how a great dynasty like Yadu dynasty, belonging to Krishna himself personally, within his own sight, could be devastated by such a dejecting kind of disappearance. Not very inspiring, that this is how one should leave one's body. Usually we hear about great souls leaving their bodies, but then we understand that this is not that. We understand that if we can take an example, okay, this is the way, how to disappear together. This can be a pastime. Maybe somebody can take inspiration, how to go together back home, back to Godhead. fight amongst, create a fight, and then in the presence of Krishna, remembering Krishna, we can all go. But actually this is a pastime to explain that within the family of Krishna also, there could be no one who could claim that I am a descendant of Krishna. I belong to this dynasty. The false pride of being connected to a great personality and trying to usurp the influence of that great personality and ascribe it to our own significance is a great impediment on the path of human progress. What to speak of devotion service. In that sense, a person loses the impetus for improving one's own credibility and tries to withdraw power and position from heritage, while the Shastras clearly explain that you are not supposed to draw influence, you are supposed to draw responsibility from an heritage. Therefore Krishna, when addressing Arjuna, is always addressing as some relation with his heritage. Partha, Bharata. He is not supposed to draw influence from his ancestors. My ancestors were great, therefore you must respect me. Because I belong to this very glorious sampradaya, therefore everyone should respect us. Because we are following the highest path of self-realization, therefore everybody should become inferior to us. And therefore, the position, the heritage, the inheritance is not for drawing superiority, false superiority. It is for drawing real accountability. Very serious accountability. And therefore, today we'll just discuss some few pastimes from the Srimad Bhagavatam and ultimately culminating the Mahabharata, how a duplicitous behavior and such crookedness can lead to devastation of not just few people around us, but few generations and probably lot of history to come in the future. We see in the case of Daksha and Shiva and Sati, the duplicitous behavior of Daksha led him to invite everybody in the yajna just for his self-aggrandizement. He was doing that yajna, he was doing that act of dharma, not for offering to Vishnu, but trying to make his position of self-importance to be known to everybody. And therefore, an act of yajna is an act of humility. How can there be pride and disrespect to anybody? Just as that we talk about the chanting of the holy names is a yajna. And to disrespect and to feel an attitude of disowning someone is actually an act of offense to the holy name. Why? Because it's an yajna, it's an act of humility. You're offering your consciousness, you're offering your existence simply at this lotus feet of Krishna, and you cannot have thorns at the feet of the Lord. The thorns of disrespect, the thorns of seeing oneself different from others, that this person is somebody different from me, is actually seeing ourselves away from Krishna. To see any living entity different from us is a sign of separatism from Krishna. Therefore, Atmavat Sarva Bhuteshu, a living entity who has purified his consciousness, sees everybody as his own and feels the suffering of everybody as one's own. And therefore, this is Daksha's tendency. Daksha has become so proud that he is using yajna for his own self-importance, and he thinks that he can disrespect even Shiva, who does not seem to seemingly respect by standing up. Even a little act of negligence to a person seeking self-importance is so devastating that a person becomes controlled by rage and anger and loses the purpose of actually doing what they are doing. What to speak of that? He could not see Shiva as his own. He was seeing Shiva, Lord Shiva, as his son-in-law, that too not with respect. We have seen our tradition that son-in-laws are respected like gods. in the Hindu tradition. But Daksha, Prajapati, is not even respecting Shiva on a mundane platform. Therefore, Daksha sees Shiva as someone obnoxious. He sees when Sati is coming as someone connected to Shiva and does not even recognize his relationship with her too. So much of separatism is that duplicity causing in Daksha's mind that he is ready to even command his followers to derive such a perspective. It is a devastating aspect of duplicity that it doesn't just destroy a group of people or some few influential people. An influential leader like Daksha, under the captivation of self-importance and in the mood of separatism, is actually prodding his followers or so-called assistants, the brahmanas, also inheriting that same opinion. And that's the cause of the destruction of the entire, all the brahmanical race got cursed in that effect. So therefore, Sati, on the other hand, she was not passive. She was very simple at heart. She could see that disrespect, but she wanted to go to Daksha and try to convince her father to give up such mentality. And therefore, she doesn't just allow Daksha to go on with this duplicitous behavior, because she knows that it is not in the interest of the whole race. His Prajapati is a very important personality. It doesn't behoove him to harbor such a attitude towards Shiva, who is all auspicious, who has not seen the least of defect in anybody, but rather has glorified the little good in everybody, and he becomes easily pleased thereby. So someone as great as Shiva could not be respected by Daksha, and that is the cause of worry of Sati. And therefore, in her simplicity, she goes to her father's house, despite being warned by Shiva, not so that she wanted to be a part of the sacrifice, but she wanted to defend the position of Shiva and try to convince Daksha. And therefore we find that simplicity is not just being tolerant of duplicity. Simplicity is trying to convey the idea of oneness with Krishna in consciousness and trying to restore or cure the defect of duplicity. Simplicity is not passive. All the qualities in Krishna consciousness which seem passive, like patience, dhairya, tolerance, simplicity, humility, these qualities are not defensive qualities. They are not passive qualities. Usually we always find that all these qualities seem to be little passive in nature, and therefore we are very self-defensive. But Sati, in her simplicity, is going and defending her husband. So much so that she tries to reform the mentality of her father. But when she knows she can't do it, or she fails, she knows that there are only three options available: either to cut the tongue of the offender, or to leave the place, or to destroy one's body. Kshatriya is supposed to cut off the tongue, Brahmana is supposed to leave the place, and Shudras or this kind of race or this kind of category of people are supposed to give up their body. Sati, feeling herself as a daughter of Daksha, gives up her body in that act of reformation. So she has given a strong message to someone that duplicity cannot be tolerated passively. There has to be certain amount of response to cure that duplicity. And here also we see in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam how Kamsa also is so duplicitous in behavior, so that he wants to exploit Vasudeva and Devaki. But Vasudev and Devaki are not very easy to be exploitable. Why? Because they are Vaishnavas. Prabhupada mentions that Vaishnavas are not supposed to accept injustice and violence, because actually that hurt Krishna's mission. And therefore, when there is a chaos in the society caused by the duplicity of leaders like Kamsa, Vasudev and Devaki have to be very diplomatic, yet very, 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 very assertive. A Vaishnava is very assertive. Why? Because he asserts the mission of Krishna. He has no personal agenda, or he has no personal profit to gain out of such a defense. And therefore, Kamsa, when he is grabbing the hair of Devaki after hearing that Akashvani, later on is willing to kill Devaki, but Vasudev is trying to save the situation by trying to preach to Kamsa, by trying to tell him nicely about the philosophy, about the tattva, but later on understands that without diplomacy, this is not going to work. So he promises all his sons to be given to Kamsa and save Devaki. And therefore, he is so diplomatic that he knows that Kamsa is going to kill, but still he had faith that Krishna, the eighth child, will kill Kamsa. And if Krishna has to appear, we have to give the sacrifice of giving birth to all these eight children. So therefore, the mission of Krishna was to defeat the duplicity of Kamsa. And Vasudeva was very qualified to do that. He knew that he was not going to fulfill his promise. And he gave that promise to Kamsa. He took advantage of his credibility. A Vaishnava builds his credibility, so one day he can sacrifice that credibility in offering as a sacrifice to save the mission of Krishna. Therefore, Yudhishthira Maharaj developed his credibility as Dharmaraj, Dharmagya, for his whole life. Only that his credibility to be sacrificed at the end of his life. Or all that life, one will only remember Yudhishthira Maharaj for telling that lie, not for following all the rules of dharma so meticulously. Why? Because a devotee actually has no attachment to a respect, position or status in society. For him, he develops all the good qualities. Maybe those good qualities may have to be sacrificed at the altar of duplicity or diplomacy for Krishna. And therefore, we find that Duryodhan, at the end of his life, he was dying, but he was charging Yudhishthira Maharaj with this claim that I will go to heavens, but you will go to hell. Why? Because you spoke so many lies and you cheated. And that created doubt in Yudhishthira Maharaj's mind. And good people have doubts. Evil people have certainty about the doubts of the devotees. That they will become doubtful, they will give up their claim, and therefore I will be able to enjoy even after dying that Yudhishthira Maharaj has not taken up the throne. Such is the duplicitous behavior of Duryodhan. So much duplicity that he has also, even while dying, he has employed a rakshasa called Charvaka to go in the assembly when Yudhishthira Maharaj is having a discussion with the Brahmins about Rajya Abhishek. And he, Charvaka, comes dressed as a Brahmana and says that Yudhishthira Maharaj, because of all the sinful reactions of killing and cheating and killing your elders, you have got so much sinful reactions that you should not ascend to this throne. Give up the throne. And that's how Yudhishthira Maharaj is worrying that I am not capable of. So he is thinking of doing that. Later on, the Brahmanas realize that this is Charvaka Rakshas and he needs to be killed. They killed him with a hum. And that's how they killed this Rakshas and Yudhishthira Maharaj was pacified again. So therefore we find here a constant attack of duplicitous behavior in the society and the polluted club. That means it's a small club, and that club we see in the Mahabharata with Duryodhan and Karna. Both were nicely duplicitous. One was duplicitous so that he wanted to gain self-importance. Other was duplicitous simply because he wanted to gain. He was full of greed and full of envy. One wanted to be better than the best, and other wanted to just be great, whether he was best or not. And therefore, Duryodhan was one who wanted to be great, and he was so duplicitous that he used everybody. He used Karna, he used Bhishma, he used Shakuni also. Sometimes we feel Duryodhan must be actually prodded by Shakuni. But actually, Duryodhan was not that child. He knew Shakuni well, he knew Bhishma well, he knew the weaknesses of his own father Dhritarashtra, and he knew the weaknesses of Karna. He exploited everybody. And therefore, in the Mahabharata we find this in the Udyog Parva, this is how we find the whole polluted club being defeated by Krishna and Pandavas. Therefore, there has to be a Dharma club also, along with Adharma club. Adharma club will be constantly working on various evil machinations, while the Dharma club has to constantly be aware of such plots and proactively defend the mission of Krishna. Therefore, when in the Udyog Parva, when in the Virat kingdom, when all of these people were trying, all the assembled kings and warriors were planning what is the next move, Krishna called for gaining opinions of everybody. And therefore we find here practically a point that we discuss, or the theme that we discuss for establishing the mission of Krishna, is the sequence from Swabhav to Swadharma, and from Swadharma to Swarajya. And because everybody has come in this world with a particular Swabhav, but unless that Swabhav is dovetailed with the rightful understanding of one's duty and responsibility and act upon it, it doesn't become Swadharma. But enough Swadharma for self emancipation is cause of weakness. And therefore, the potential of the Jivatma is given in a very, very, very structured and a very, very, very potent way, so as to contribute the potential of Swadharma for self-rule or Swarajya, where everybody gains this facility to practice the highest duty in order to establish that right order called Dharma. Dharma is nothing but the right order by which every living entity can experience one's journey from mundane to transcendence. And unless that situation is established, Krishna does not leave this planet making sure that this order is established. And in order to establish this beautiful order, there has to be destruction and disruption. The polluted club of adharma does not become fragmented easily. It does not become dissolved. It has to be smashed. And therefore, how dharma smashes adharma is what Krishna teaches through his various acts of duplicity, diplomacy and straightforwardness. Therefore, Krishna, when he takes the opinions of everybody, he is saying, everybody please contribute, what should be done? Finally, the acceptance of Drupad's opinion that they should send a messenger, but at the same time prepare for allies coming to the war. Make process for peace, but be ready for war. In this world, there is a constant duality that we cannot hope against hope. We have to place emphasis on Purushartha. Destiny will not always fructify on the platform of hope. Destiny only fructifies in the environment of Purushartha. And therefore, it is only the people who simply hope. And I was hearing to one very nice person, and he was giving a very nice understanding that those who revel in the past glories of great personalities and great mission actually cannot contribute anything in the future. Why? Because they are simply living their hope on destiny, on past laurels of some people of what they inherit. I felt that sometimes we may say that Prabhupada did this, Prabhupada did that, and we may speak glories of Srila Prabhupada, and they revel in the past, what past ISKCON did. But simply to revel in that past and to feel secure that we are belonging to a great heritage does not mean that the future will be secure. The future will be secure only when one becomes convinced in doing the purushartha to attain that security. And therefore, Krishna and all of them have sent, the Brahmana messenger is going, at the same time Arjuna has gone to Krishna immediately to seek his help. And therefore, even Duryodhan goes there, and then he also seeks the blessings here. So this is where we find that Krishna gives his army and Arjuna takes Krishna as a charioteer. But when Shalya is coming on the way to help Yudhishthir, Duryodhan tricks. Again there is a duplicity going on, non-stop. Duryodhan is constantly working on that duplicity, and Dhritarashtra is constantly avoiding to see that duplicity because he wants to show that he is blind. Constant blindness, very consistent blindness. Oh, he is doing this, poison Bhima, become indifferent. Then he is going to kill, make that Varnavat plan, become indifferent. The Ghosh Yatra of trying to defame Pandavas by trying to show how opulent their enjoyment is, again Dhritarashtra wants to be indifferent. He wants to cover his duplicity by being weak and helpless, and seek sympathy in that name of helplessness. So even Dhritarashtra's duplicity, the seed of Dhritarashtra's duplicity has fructified in Duryodhan. It has become very, very refined. What was crude has become refined. And therefore, the story that Shalya tells after he was being cheated by Duryodhan to become a part of his army, he tells the story of Nahusha, who became the king when Indra had become cursed after he behaved ill with Ahalya, and he had to lose his position. So Nahusha was given all the powers by the Brahmanas, and he also became puffed up by the power, so much so that he wanted to have Sachi for himself, and Sachi went to Brahaspati seeking help. Sachi said that, please help me, and Brahaspati said, you try to say that by some time, that as long as I am not with my husband, I'll try to find. If I am not able to find my husband, then I'll willingly come to you. So she goes to Indra, and Indra says, I cannot come, I am still helpless, but you do one small thing, just tell Nahusha that if you want me, then let him be carried by all the Brahmanas on the palanquin to come to accept Sachi. So Nahusha comes with palanquin driven, held by Brahmanas, and while they were discussing, Brahmanas are not doing gossip, they are discussing the Shastras. Or they are not saying, it is a very heavy load. And they are talking about how mantras have to be chanted by sprinkling water on the body of a cow. And as soon as Nahusha hears those verses, he becomes very angry and says that these Vedas are useless. They are not depicting the truth. So he blasphemed the Vedas. The second offense. To blaspheme the Vedas and the Vedic scriptures in person, the fourth offense. So that's how Nahusha does that, and he kicks Agastya Muni. And because of that, Agastya curses him that you will fall down from your position. That's how Nahusha falls down. So Shalya says to Yudhishthir, don't worry, by the evil character of Duryodhan, he will himself fall to his ruin. And this way, Sanjay comes as a messenger. When the message goes to the Kauravas, Sanjay comes back and he says that better you all go to the forest in the Vrishni kingdom and spend more years in exile, And rather than trying to kill your elders and not being tainted with the sins of killing your elders, Krishna becomes very angry. Yudhishthira Maharaj says, Krishna will say, will give the reply. And Krishna says a very fantastic thing. Krishna says that inactivity is sinful. And therefore work is far superior in virtue than idleness. Therefore, how can you claim that Yudhishthira Maharaj should give up his active Kshatriya life and live a life of a recluse in the forest without any activity? And therefore, Kshatriya's work is to actually rule. You are trying to go against the swabhav of the person. Therefore, one should know that a swabhav is very important to understand the swadharma also. And therefore, the responsibility only comes when one knows one's qualities. And one should understand one's qualities in view of responsibilities. Therefore, when in today's time where there is actually no distinction of the various varnas, actually it is important to understand our swabhav in terms of swadharma. And swadharma becomes important in the wake of the necessity of swarajya. What kind of dharma order needs to be established, how it needs to be established, that swadharma becomes important, and one has to mold one's swabhav to reach that swadharma. And therefore, here Krishna says, therefore knowledge is just like you're telling that give up everything, it is like having a knowledge of renunciation or knowledge of real of spirituality, but knowledge is insufficient. Duty upon knowledge is sacred. Therefore Krishna is saying, just because you bring a person in front of the hungry person, in front of a nice feast, that person is not going to enjoy the feast. Therefore one has to work. Therefore Krishna says purushartha is more important than even jnana. That jnana is meant to develop purushartha. And therefore Vidura, when he gets this message, he convinces and he says that just as one should do virtuous acts in a way that in a day one should act in such a way that one can sleep peacefully at night. Similarly, one should work for 8 months in the farm in such a way that 4 months of rainy season you are peaceful. One should work in our youth in such a way that old age is not filled with regrets. And one should live the whole life in this lifetime in a way that next life becomes fruitful. So Dhritarashtra, mind you, what are you trying to do is to destroy your own destiny by not doing the right virtuous acts. And therefore, Sanjay is telling to Dhritarashtra about all these things, that what he has seen. He has seen Krishna sitting on the lap of Arjun, and Arjun's feet are on the lap of Draupadi. When I entered that chamber, I felt like Krishna is with Indra. Such a deadly combination I saw. I was full with awe and reverence. At the same time, I was fearful. And I could see Krishna as Narayan, Krishna Arjun. So Dhritarashtra is asking Vidur, how is that you have developed faith in Krishna? Both are disciples of Vyasdev. Both are disciples of Vyasdev, but one has complete faithlessness of Krishna, other is completely faithful of Krishna. She says, how is that you have developed faith in Krishna? He said, because I have not become a victim of ignorance based on attachments. I have given up the attachments and therefore the ignorance is not there. Therefore I can see Krishna. When I see him, I can see his power, I can see his influence, I can see the consequences. And Dhritarashtra then laments and he speaks whole philosophy that I want to see Krishna. Why destiny made me blind? I wanted to see Krishna with my eyes. But he is again thinking of only seeing Krishna and becoming helpless again. His goal is not to become reformed. His goal is, I have seen Krishna, he is great, but I am helpless. That's what he sees when actually, that's what he says when Krishna comes as a peace messenger. Krishna, what can I do? My son is not able to. You convince him. If you can convince him, then I will follow. So therefore, such duplicitous behavior of Dhritarashtra is actually giving more fodder to Duryodhan to continuous duplicity. And Karna is no less duplicitous. Karna is constantly trying to show himself that actually fighting with the Pandavas is only the best option. So Duryodhan allows him to talk. because he is the right antidote for Bhishma, for Dronacharya, and he is saying that, see, Karna also says that he allows Karna to speak. In fact, so much is this duplicity that Krishna is thinking what to speak in the peace mission. Arjuna says, first try to do peace. First try to save, try to avoid the war. Bhim also says, don't say harsh word to Kauravas. Duryodhana is very angry. He will fight. Go for a fight immediately. Be very passive. So Krishna becomes angry with Bhim. This fellow, he was not able to sleep in the whole exile. And in the morning he said, as sunrise I will kill Duryodhana. What a kind of eunuch you are, Krishna says to Bhim. And Bhim becomes again angered. And remembers that he is supposed to be Bhim, not supposed to be Yudhishthir like. So he again becomes, no, I will do that. So Draupadi is feeling remorse. Why is Krishna talking about so much peace? She becomes angry with Krishna. I have not spent so many years in anger and insult in the whole exile just to make a peace. Krishna said, don't worry. What I have promised you at the beginning of the exile, only that will happen. Every wife of the Kauravas will shed tears after the death of all of their husbands. It is already ordained. Only I am trying to make a move, which is a diplomatic move, to tell that I have done everything we have done everything for peace, but ultimately Duryodhana wanted war. Actually Krishna wanted war more than Duryodhana. And therefore Krishna goes with a chariot. He says, Daruka, Satyaki, get all the weapons ready. Because even if a person is superior and powerful, still he must prepare for the adverse situation. Therefore, any case of war, even now, in Hastinapur, in the time of peace mission, I am willing to fight the war and finish there only. Krishna was so eager for war. Why? Because he wanted that disruption to destroy the dynasty of duplicity from the face of the earth. And that is how Krishna, in the peace mission, says that, he says to Duryodhana, I am not inspired by your love. Your all arrangements that you have made for hosting me are no longer attractive to me. If you love the Pandavas, then you love me. If you hate them, you hate me. Krishna spoke very categorically to Duryodhana. And in fact, this is how Krishna goes to the peace mission and tells very clearly. Ultimately, the peace mission fails. In fact, a lot of exchanges going on there too. And ultimately Krishna goes to Karna and takes him to his chariot and explains his birth. But Karna has become inflexible. What has he become inflexible with? Inflexible with loyalty. Bhishma became inflexible with loyalty. Karna also became inflexible with loyalty. But his inflexible with loyalty was to become better than Arjun. A chance to become better than Arjun. So he was trying to become better than Arjun while trying to become a friend of Duryodhana. And ultimately, inflexibility that he ultimately had to side with a false king, a false friendship and a false dharma. Being inflexible in life also creates a lot of duplicity. Therefore, unless Krishna wanted to destroy the inflexibility of Arjun, the inflexibility of Bhima, the inflexibility of Yudhishthir, simply so that they can become flexible to establishing Swarajya. That Swarajya which establishes the right order and gives the facility for everybody to practice the processes by which everyone can come. Because Duryodhana had stopped all the charity to the Brahmanas. Duryodhana had stopped all the welfare activities. And Yudhishthir Maharaj would have fought the war only for this sake, that my citizens are being deprived, therefore I will fight the war. And therefore Gita was necessary for Arjun at that time and not for Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir Maharaj became mortified after the war, not before the war. And Krishna knows who was inflexible at what time. And he made right kind of instructions to be given to those who are inflexible at that particular time and made that phased way of disruption by adapting everybody to their swadharma and ultimately to the concept of swarajya. And this is why It is said, therefore, those who cannot be changed have to be wiped off. Krishna tried his best, and this was never going to be so. And this is what Krishna explains. And even we find in the case of Haridas Thakur and Gopal Chakravarti, the same kind of duplicity. Gopal Chakravarti was not ready to accept. May your nose fall if the Namahabas can give you liberation. And Haridas Thakur said, let it be so. Ultimately, Gopal Chakravarti was developed leprosy. So this is such a nice thing that the duplicity will actually manifest in destruction. The duplicitous behavior of Yadus, the sons of Yadu, became manifested in that Musal, ultimately led to the destruction of Yadu dynasty. If even it was for Krishna's own sons, there is no excuse to the law of Dharma. Nobody excused. Even Krishna says, even I am bound by Dharma. What to speak of my dynasty? So therefore this is a very nice episode, and lot of things to be revealed, how the curse will come to the fruition after even Gandhari has cursed Krishna. So thank you very much. We are already about time. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.